I struggle when I hear those girls sing and play. I'm telling you, girls keep it right where it belongs, at the feet of Jesus Christ. I remember old Brother Kaiser, when he preached my ordination service, he looked me right in the face, if I remember right, and said, "Jody, you keep it right at the feet of Jesus Christ." You know, it's great to see young people using their God-given talents for Jesus Christ. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord using that precious family in a great way. We've got a great music ministry here. I really don't know why, to be honest, you know, considering who's leading it. No, I'm just kidding with you. We appreciate Brother Gary and how this is one thing I don't have to worry about around Buffalo Ridge. And I appreciate that. God bless him. And the Lord's using the great way. I appreciate the music, preparing the heart for the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7 again tonight. Matthew chapter 7. And again, we'll just read verses 28 and 29. I'm giving you part two of this message. And I began this morning. We're concluding the Sermon on the Mount. It goes back and begins in chapter 5 and extends through chapter number 7. And what a sermon it's been. The Lord has preached his heart out here. And this message is still speaking to us today. Matthew 7, 28. "And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Again, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, mark the two words in verse 28. It's the two words, "his doctrine." We give you part two of that message tonight. Father, we love you. Help us this service to be pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your goodness to us and for this place. Help this place to ever be a place that lifts you up high and holy above every name. Pray for those who are here in this building. Pray for those who are listening by means of the internet. Pray that you'll speak to all of our hearts and challenge us from your word, I pray. Encourage us tonight. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do some repeat here just to bring you up to speed to where we're at. In these verses, we've come to the end of what's been called the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we began looking this morning at what I entitled "His Doctrine." And if you remember, doctrine is just a word that means teachings. It means instruction. In other words, these teachings that he was giving in this sermon, these instructions that he was giving in this sermon, are known as his doctrine. And since it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he has his own authority. Now, we began looking at this morning, that three things about his doctrine. Number one, his doctrine called for a decision. And if you remember, this is his invitation to his sermon. And he comes down to the end of it in verses 13 and 14, preached on it this morning, where he says, "Enter in at the straight gate," and he brings out that there are not many choices, there are only two. You either go in the straight gate or you go in the broad gate. Then we saw that his doctrine not only called for a decision, but number two, it cautioned against false prophets and false professions. In other words, he says in verses 15 down to verse number 23, in verses 15 down to verse number 20, he started saying, "Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves." And he's saying, "Be a fruit inspector, because their life will tell on their heart." Then he goes on in verses 21 to 23. It's where we ended this morning, was "Be cautioned against a false profession." In other words, not everybody that claims to be a Christian is truly a Christian if they're relying on something other than the straight gate to get them to heaven. If they're relying on anything other than Jesus Christ, that is a false profession. And many of them are going to hear, I'm not happy about this, I'm not excited about this, but what a sad day it's going to be when many people who think they're all right, but they've tried to get into heaven some other way, will say, "I thought I was a Christian," and Jesus will say, "I never knew you." And we be careful that we know that we've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Then we come to the third part about his doctrine. His doctrine not only called for a decision and cautioned against false prophets and false professions, but number three, his doctrine comforted true believers. It comforted true believers. Now we see this in verses 24 and following. Notice this now. Therefore. Now that word therefore ties it into what he's just previously mentioned. He's talking about the straight gate and making sure that your profession is real. Then he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, folks, as we come to these verses, the key word is the first word, therefore. And we see this in verse number 24, that this ties us back to what the Lord Jesus has been speaking about, which is true Bible salvation. A true profession, not a false profession. Making sure that you entered the straight gate, not the wide gate. And we see that what these verses are teaching, now get this, is that a true child of God who has obeyed the gospel will make it safe and secure. Now I'm telling you, this comforts the true child of God. After all, we know that Christ is the solid rock. In Matthew 16, 18, he said this, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now the parallel passage to this is Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. And as we look at these statements here about the wise man and the foolish man, I want to bring out three things tonight to help your understanding. First of all, under this part that his doctrine comforted true believers, there's three things I want to bring out. Number one, we notice the contrast. Notice this contrast in verses 24 and 26. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now these two men had the same message presented unto them, but how contrasted they were. How different they were in their response to it. There are two areas that I notice a contrast in these men. Number one, they had a contrast in their reaction to the Word of God. We notice in verse number 24, the wise man said yes to it, while the foolish man in verse 26 said no to the Word of God. Then we notice a contrast not only in the reaction to the Word of God, but we notice a contrast in the foundation that they chose to build upon. Because the wise man said yes to the will of God, the Bible says he was choosing to build his house on a rock. Yet in verse 26, because the foolish man said no to the word of God, he is said to have built his house upon the sand. Now the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22:47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock. Psalm 28:1, O Lord, my rock. Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 94:22, my God is the rock of my refuge. We see in this that the natural deduction, now get this, folks, the natural deduction is that anything other than Jesus Christ, are you listening? Anything other than Jesus Christ is nothing but shifting sand. Now I'm telling you something here. Are you on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Have you built your life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? If you have trusted Christ, you have gone through the straight gate. You have not relied on good works. You have not relied on that and on this and on that, but you've relied on the rock of Jesus Christ. Folks, you are safe and secure while the ages roll on. We notice the contrast, but number two, the condition. We see this in verses 25 and 27. Now notice the condition that came about. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Look at verse number 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, do you see a connection between 25 and 27? Do you see anything about the condition? Are you listening? It's interesting to note that a storm came to both men's building. Everybody has storms, friends. Everybody does. This storm came to both men's houses. And I'm telling you, notice how this condition in both cases was strong. Because the Bible says in both verses that it beat upon that house. Notice it in verse 25, and beat upon that house. Look at verse 27, and beat upon that house. It was a strong storm. But can I say this to you? It was the same storm. I'm telling you that both houses went through the same thing. Now I want to show you what happened. Notice in verses 25 and 27, read them simultaneously here if you can. I realize you can't do that literally, but look at one and then skip down and look at the other one right quick. Notice it, and the rain descended. If it descended, where's it coming from? From above. Notice next, and the floods came. Where do the floods come? From below. Notice, and the winds blew. Where do the winds blow? All across us. I mean, around us, beside us. Get this, and beat upon that house. The idea here is that this condition, it was coming from above, it was coming from below, and it was coming from all directions, and it was beating the fire out of these houses. You know what Jesus is saying? You know what's going to prove your profession? Does your house stand through storms? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, if you go my way, you obey what I've told you to do. You understand that I'm my own authority, and you understand that you cannot get to heaven by your own righteousness. If you build on the rock, that does not mean that there will not be rains coming down. That does not mean there will not be floods coming up, and that doesn't mean that winds will not be blowing, because floods are coming, rain's falling, and winds are blowing all the time. But he said, I promise you one thing. If your house is sitting on me, it's not going to fall. Glory, friends. I'm telling you. I mean, he's just comforting true believers. Both of these men had strong storms in the same storm. That's the contrast, the condition. But number three, the conclusion. I've already jumped ahead of myself here a little bit. But we notice that, keep in mind, this same storm is beating upon the wise men's house. And the same storm is beating upon the foolish man's house. It's the same storm. But the conclusion is this. First of all, the wise man's house did not fall. We see this in verses 25, the latter part, and then in verse number 27, the latter part. Notice it here. Verse 25, the latter part. Now the it there is the wise man's house built upon a rock, verse 24, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice it now, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Child of God, you are secure on the rock of Jesus Christ. The words was founded. In other words, notice it where it says, for it was founded upon a rock. Those words was founded means a state of completion in the past. You have been founded. It's been completed in the past. In other words, you have trusted Christ. That means you are now founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And the only reason that this house did not fall was not the wood that it was made of. It was not the intuition of the wise man. It was not the wise man holding everything up inside and saying, it's not going to fall, I won't let it. No. The only reason it didn't fall is because the Bible says it was founded upon a rock. Jesus Christ deserves all the praise, friends. And he's trying to let us know something. He's trying to tell us here, listen, I'm cutting it straight. I love you too much not to give you the truth, and the truth is there's a straight gate and I want you to enter it. I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, but if you'll believe me and accept me by faith and come through the door, which is me, it may be narrow now, but it's going to widen out, I promise. Don't be like the world. That's the broad gate. Many of them are going in there at. I'm trying to tie this message together here, folks. Just stay with me a little bit. He's saying, listen, there's a broad way, but if you choose that way because it looks good or everybody else is doing it, I promise you it's going to narrow down to death. And he's saying this, I want you to know something. If you do believe me and you do trust me as your Savior and you don't rely on a false profession and casting out devils and doing many wonderful works, if you do that, I want you to know something. You're going to make it to heaven not because of the way your house looks. And you're going to make it to heaven not because you have the windows hung just right. But he said, I want you to know you're going to make it to heaven because you're sitting on me. If you're sitting on me, the floods will come, the winds will blow, the rain will fall, but I'm stronger than all of it. And you can be comforted if you're built upon the rock. But there's another thing. The wise man's house did not fall, but the foolish man's house did. We see this in the latter part of verse 27. I'll just read the whole verse here, but in context, verse 26 is talking about the foolish man who built upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Friends, there are so many people today who are building on sand. It makes no difference where you are. Whether you're in America, it's in Brazil, it's going to be in India, it's in Thailand, where we're going, God willing, helping us to get there. I'm telling you, no matter where you go, there are two foundations. There's the rock and there's sand. That's it. That's it. There's the straight gate and the wide gate. That's it. Jesus is cutting it straight here. And he said, I want you to know something. If you believe me and you trust me as your Savior and you enter into the straight gate, you're going to make it. But if you don't, you're going to find out when those storms come and those rains fall and the floods rise and the winds blow that your foundation's not secure and it's going to knock you down. I'm telling you, a true child of God should breathe a sigh of relief. Whew. That makes me feel good. Let me tell you why. Because it doesn't matter what my house looks like. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to clean it up. That shouldn't mean that you shouldn't try to be the best house you can be. But you're not going to make it to heaven because you're clean. You're going to make it to heaven because you're forgiven. And you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And we see this, that this is what he's teaching. Psalm 1:5, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:5 and 7, the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectations shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Hebrews 10:26 and 27 puts it this way, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. The bottom line is if you're building on anything other than Christ, you will be destroyed, and that without remedy. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it is coming, friends. You need to make sure that you're on the solid rock. The houses look the same, But the foundation was different. Are you on rock or are you on sand? Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19-20, now therefore ye are not more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Let me ask you a question. Do you know without a doubt that you're on the rock? If you do and you can say yes, then something inside of you ought to be saying, man, thank God. It doesn't matter how hard the rain falls, how high the floods get, how hard the wind blows, I am founded upon the rock and I will not fall. I will not go down. I'm talking about in eternity, friends. If your house is upon the rock of Jesus Christ, let come what may, you are safe on the rock of Jesus Christ. But if you're building on anything else, your house will crumble. It will crumble. And I'm telling you that in a message like this, it does one of two things. It either scares you or it secures you. And if you're sitting there right now saying, I don't know. You need to make sure that you're a Christian, friends. Because God's not in the business of doubt. But on top of that, if you know you've been saved, you know you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not perfect, but you know that there's been a time when you've repented of your sin, you've received Jesus, you're not relying on good works, you're not relying on casting demons out. I'm talking about the false profession in this chapter. You're not relying on anything you're doing. You're relying on what Jesus Christ did for you. If that is you tonight, you're listening, this message should not scare you. It should encourage you. It should comfort you to let you realize that because you are founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what comes in life, you will stand through it all because you're founded on Him. So I ask you, what is God saying to you? I'm going to tell you what I like about the Lord. I love this about the Lord. He doesn't just save us and then turn us loose to try to figure it out on our own. He saves us and then tells us, I want you to know something. If you're really saved, you're going to make it. If you're really saved, you're going to make it to heaven. If you're really saved, you're on the rock and it will never crumble. I don't care how high the water gets. I don't care how much the rain falls. I don't care how hard the wind blows. If you are founded upon Jesus Christ, you are safe and secure on the rock called Christ. And I wonder tonight, do you have assurance of your salvation? In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there may be somebody here who doesn't know for sure they're saved. You say, what's God telling me? He's telling you to make sure you're saved. Do you understand that you can knock more doors than anybody here? You can give more to the offering than anybody else gives here. But if you bypass the new birth, you will miss heaven, friends. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I want you to know something. I want something more than you serving God. I want you knowing for sure that He's yours. You need to know that God knows you. Do you know that you're His? If you do, then you can relax because you're secure. If you don't, you need to be nervous because there's a storm on the horizon. And if you're on sand, that's not very firm. You ever built something on the sand? Doesn't matter if it's a self-portrait or whatever it is, sand castle, whatever it is. You come back the next day, is it still there? No? Why? Because the water came in, friends. The tide came in. Are you listening? It wasn't up off of it, sitting on a rock. It was on the sand, and that sand fell from under it. Don't you see what the Lord's doing in this chapter? He's saying, friends, can't you just go back in your mind's eye and see the Lord Jesus Christ standing there preaching this message? I'm trying to think about that preacher, and you know, him standing there. And he knows that he is absolutely shaking these people's boats. That they have thought, man, you got to look the part. And look at them Pharisees. Man, what good people they must be. Look how much they pray. Look at how much they give in the offerings. This is all in that chapter. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, steps up and says, let me tell you something. Unless your righteousness is far greater than these people over here, you're not even going to see heaven. What? What do you mean? You mean I got to be better than them? There's no way. And he goes on to explain. There's a rock that you need to build on. Those men are building on shifting sand. See, they're relying on their prayers. They're relying on their giving. They're relying on their good works. They're relying on that. And someday they'll stand before me and say, did we not prophesy in your name and your name cast out devils? And he said, but I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. Who's the ultimate judge? Jesus. And what he says is what matters. Don't be guilty of coming to Buffalo Ridge and sitting in services like this and go out into eternity and hear Jesus tell you, I never knew you. How sad would that be? But on the flip side, don't be guilty of coming and sitting in Buffalo Ridge and hearing a message like this and then struggle with doubts the rest of your life. Because if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, God's not playing games with you, friend. And if you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, the best you know how, Jesus Christ saved you. And if you're saved, he's saying, let the floods come. Let the rains come. Let the winds blow. Because, friends, I'm stronger than any of that. And if you're on me, you're just fine. You're going to make it there safe and sound. That's what he's teaching here. So he's trying to encourage the Christian. His doctrine called for a decision. Enter the straight gate. His doctrine cautioned against false prophets. There are going to be those who come to you and try to tell you that I'm lying. They're going to try to dress the part. They're going to try to smell like a sheep. They're going to try to dress like a sheep. But inside they're ravening wolves. Beware of them. And he goes on to say, and also beware of this. Be cautious about something. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And your name cast out devils, and your name done many wonderful works. And because they were relying on those works, he'll say, but I'll look at them and say, I never knew you. Then he turns right around after that, and he says, I want to tell you about two men. There's a wise man. He built his house upon the rock. That rock is the straight gate. That rock is him. That rock is Christ. And he said, when he built it upon the rock, he said there was another man at the same time who was a foolish man. And he didn't build upon the rock. He thought that his way was better than the rock. He didn't think he needed the rock. He just built upon the sand. Maybe he didn't think about the winds coming and the floods coming and the rains falling. I don't know. But all I know is that he didn't choose to build on the rock. Jesus speaking here, I'm paraphrasing. And he's saying there was a storm that came to both of their houses. The rains descended. The floods came up. The winds beat upon that house. But he said, I'm going to tell you about these houses. This one over here that the wise man built, he built upon the rock that I've told him about. I am that rock. And because he built upon the rock, even though that storm was strong and it was the same storm, his house, it could have been beaten up, but it didn't fall. This house over here, it never had a chance because I've told them what the rock is. They chose not to believe me, so they built on something else. And because they built on something else, that same storm that this man's house was secure through, it beat the daylights out of this house and put it into smithereens, and nobody can put it back together. Don't you see what he's doing? Now, there's no way I can do it like the Lord did. But don't you see what he's doing? He's saying, listen, in the last verse of this, you can look at it there. It says they were amazed at his doctrine because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And he's saying, right here it is. The reason it's this way, Jesus said, is because I say so. Does he have that authority? Yes or no? Sure he does. And he looks at his audience and he says, do you believe me? Or do you not? Aren't you glad that you've believed in the authority of Jesus Christ? Because if you have, you're on the rock. And you're just fine. If you haven't, you're on the sand. You know the great thing about God's building program? If you'll let him, he can scoop your house up off the sand intact and set it upon the rock tonight. It's your choice. And if you're listening live, it's your choice too. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Help us to understand that life is fragile. And help us to see your heart in this. There's no way that I can preach this message the way that you preached it, Jesus. But I've attempted. Burden our hearts. Challenge us. Convict us. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. It's rare that I preach a salvation message on Sunday night. But when you preach through books like I'm preaching through books, every now and then it just works out that way. How sad would it be for somebody that comes to Buffalo Ridge? You may even be on the church roll. But in your heart, you do not have assurance that heaven is your home. In your heart, you know right now that you're playing a game. It's not that you want to play a game. It's not that you're doing that. It's just you've been concerned about what other people might think. You know what this message tells us? If you remember that when Jesus was warning about false professions, he said, then will I say unto them, I never knew you. Why don't you stop worrying about what somebody else might think and look out into the future and see what God might say? I am convinced that if somebody really sees the judging hand of God, that they will cease to worry about what man thinks about it. I'm convinced of that. Have me tonight say, Jody, I'm not doubting my salvation. I'm not shaking on the sand. I know without a doubt that I am on the solid rock. I know I've entered the straight gate. I know that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know that He is my Lord. I know He saved me, not because of what I've done, but because of what He told me, and I've put my faith in Him. I'm not relying on anything else. I'm not in danger of making a false profession. I know I've trusted Christ. You know you've done that. You don't hope so, you know so. If that's you, quietly there at your seat, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Amen. By the way, if you raised your hand, I want you to listen to me, please. What was Jesus speaking to you about tonight? You know what the message was tonight? I know storms come. I know rains fall and floods rise and winds blow. But I want you as my child to know something. If you're on me, you're safe. You're secure. You're going to make it. Not because of your house, but because of your foundation, and He is your foundation. Amen. But is there one here tonight? Say, Jody, God, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is speaking to my heart. I do not want to be guilty of coming to a church and hear a message like this and know in my heart that God is speaking to me. I do not want to miss heaven. I don't want to rely on a false profession. I want to know that I'm saved. I don't want to go out into eternity relying on anything or anybody else, but I believe the Lord is speaking to me that I need to make sure on this thing. Maybe you know you're lost, or maybe you're just doubting, whatever the case may be. Whatever God is dealing with you about, you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to make sure that I'm not relying on a false profession. I want to know that I've entered the straight gate. Is there one like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. But if that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm in this church service. I need this message. I need to make sure. Let me ask you this. Have you know somebody who's relying on a false profession? Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. It could be another religion. It could be something that they're doing or whatever. If you got your hand raised, I want you to raise it high if you don't mind. So I know somebody like that. If you got your hand raised, I'd like you to lower it. Won't you look up here at me just a moment? I don't do this often. When a lot of people are responding, I'll do this. I don't know who you're looking at me for. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a relative, whatever. And I know it's hard to go to people like that. But you know what we Christians need a fresh glimpse of? The same thing they need a fresh glimpse of. The great white throne. Somebody says, I'm scared to do anything about it. I might lose them. They may never speak to me again. Can I say this? May I say this? I would much rather take a chance on losing them on earth than losing them for eternity. By the way, when you really love somebody, you tell them the truth, don't you? Right or wrong? And if we really love these people, it's in your attitude. You don't go to these people and say, you're believing a lie, you're going to burn in hell. No. That's not the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, can't you just see Him standing there as He's giving this message? Can't you just see the Son of God standing there? Matter of fact, if all of you want to look at me just a minute, can't you just see the Son of God standing there ending this message? And I can't prove this. I said it this morning, but I can't prove it, and I know that. But our Lord was so tender-hearted. I can just see a tear coming out of His face. Saying, there are going to be many on that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and done that and done this? He said, I'm going to have to look at him and say, that was never it. I never knew you. That's all that matters, friends. The only thing that really matters is, does the all-knowing God know you? You know, one of the greatest mysteries to me in the Word of God, you know what it is? It's that God knows everything, right? Right? Sure He does. But He said there's going to be many on that day that I'll tell them, I never knew you. I know it's hard to think about it in America. I understand. I think God's preparing my heart for India.
I think he's preparing my heart. Oh, the devil's been fighting in me. I've been on a roller coaster. God stepped in and gave me peace and said, you go on, boy. I got a work to do. There are people around the globe who are relying on a false profession. God helping us, this old country preacher and another country preacher, more country than I, Tommy Sexton, going to get up in front of thousands of them. Popping, that's probably the devil in this thing too. You don't like what's being said. It's not the sound. Just cut this off just a minute. I finished early tonight, but I don't like letting you go home early. That's why I keep you here for a few minutes. I don't want you to get used to it. I want you to know something. The only thing that really matters is that God knows you. Think he's given us the privilege of telling somebody else he wants to know you too. What's your heartbeat, Jody? I hope it's God's heartbeat. And I know the heartbeat of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What are we doing about it? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God's speaking to you, if you want to come pray for somebody, if you want to come pray for this India meeting, if you want to pray for this Thailand place, if you want to just come and pray about those people you raised your hand about, as Brother Gary sings, you come on. Just stand to your feet and come. Come on now. Would you do it?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Come on, talk to God.
Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting.
Sing on, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have thine own way. And weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Playing through softly. Folks are praying. We're just about through. Why don't you just pray there at your seat? Ask God to help you. If you're saved, why don't you thank him for the assurance he gives? Thank him that you're safe and secure, that you're founded on the rock. Ask him to burden you more about getting other people off the sand, building upon the rock. Amen. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Have thine own way,
sing it if you know it, if you want to.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
I'm going to ask Brother Graham if you wouldn't mind. We're going to do this next week, God willing, and God reminding me. I'm going to have all the group that's going to India next week to come. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I want Brother Graham, faithful missionary, to come and lead us in prayer. Ask God to help us with this. And then pray for this trip, that the Lord will give safety, prepare those precious people's heart, and help us as we're over there, that many of them will respond. This will be our closing prayer. God bless you, folks. Love you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you have made clear in your word what matters. God, help every one of us to have lives built on the rock, which is Jesus, that we may believe the truth and practice the truth. And Lord, you've promised to carry us through the storms and the wind and the waves. Now, Lord, we pray especially tonight for this trip. We've prayed about it many times already, Lord. This church is given to take care of the cost involved. This church is given, Lord, so that many can come and receive a meal and hear the word of God. Now, Lord, we ask tonight that you would multiply the impact of these men. They're going to go and they're going to preach through translators. Humanly speaking, Lord, this is foolishness. And yet, Lord, you've divinely ordained that your word will change and transform lives. And so we pray tonight that as this group of men goes and as they carry your word, that your spirit would work in hearts and break down barriers, illuminate the hearts and minds of these people that their soul might be touched by your spirit. May the truth break down the barriers of false teaching and false religion, that their cultural obstacles will be overcome. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work through these men and those that go on the trip, that you'll use this campaign, the word of God preached in India and in Thailand, oh God. And we know you've already promised that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which you've sent it. And Lord, we rejoice tonight and thank you for the privilege and thank you for the promises. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.